Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is continuing coverage.
The Black Swan murder trial of Ashley Benefield from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Now back to the courtroom.
So, Mrs. Portia, let me pass this to you. I want to see this fresh recollection whether or not it pops out or
late. Yes, sir. Yes, this is the order.
Yeah, without referring to question, in fact, now this recollection and fresh, send the copy order to Taylor.
Yes, sir.
And then he responds to you a couple hours later.
With, yes, and there's also an, yes, there's also a predicament where Detective Gillum, there was no order entered into the clerk system in Charleston, and there was no order entered into the Charleston Sheriff's Office. So he had no bounds to make an arrest just based on this when it wasn't entered.
Jury testimony or violation or anything else. Redirect. Could the witness be released?
Thank you, Your Honor. Would you like
to? Taylor. Go.
I think we're going to have to
approach. Okay, well, let's go. All right, members of the jury, I think it's a great time for our mid-morning break. So I'm going to send you out. Be about 10 minutes or so. Feel free to use the facilities. You can use your phones if you need to send or receive text messages, emails, phone calls, anything like that. Please don't begin any sort of deliberations or discussions amongst yourselves about the case. Don't discuss the case with anybody outside the jury. But don't do any research on the people, places, things, or legal topics we've heard anything about. And 10 minutes, 15 minutes, because I also want to give everybody else in here a break. So, we'll see you back in a few minutes. All right. Y'all can have a seat. All right, so the issue is a police report that I haven't seen, but it's my understanding what it says is that Ms. Benefield went physically to the telephone recording unit of the Manatee County Sheriff's Office. I'm going to summarize, you can correct me. All right, so this isn't marked. Is it? Did you seek to admit it as an exhibit or just testimony?
No,
all right, so you expect the testimony would be from a deputy with the Sheriff's Office that Ms. Benefield went to the telephone recording unit on December 6, 2019, that Ms. Benefield wanted to document the fact that her estranged husband admitted in a text message that he placed a tracking device on her vehicle in the past, that she has observed him driving behind her on multiple occasions, which concerns her, and she wanted this information documented. She brought her vehicle to a local auto dealer, but a tracker could not be found due to the fact a tracking device was never observed on the vehicle and information report was completed.
Okay.
All right. And the objection?
The objection, Judge, is that anything contained in this report, which the nature of this report, according to it, is information. But anything contained in this report is hearsay, other than that Ms. Benefield physically appeared at TRU on December 6, 2019, because everything that Mr. Deputy Lindsay wrote down was told to him by Ms. Benefield. And so the state would object to his being able to testify to anything other than she appeared at TRU on that date, which seems irrelevant, if you remember.
Proponent, defense?
Yes. So it clearly goes to her state of mind at the time, and it also corroborates her defense. I do not plan to ask that. Read it. I'm going to ask him if he took a report from Ms. Benefield, what the date was, and whether or not it was her reporting about a tracker being placed on her vehicle.
And that's hearsay, in the state's opinion, Judge, because it's self-serving hearsay. It's actually hearsay within hearsay, I think. But if he wrote something and asking him what he wrote in a report about somebody else told him, but it's at least one level.
All right. Thank you both very much. The purported reason for the introduction of this testimony, according to the defense, is to show the defendant's state of mind and that it corroborates her defense. Both of those sound to me like the introduction of this report to the sheriff's office regarding a tracker is being offered for the truth of the matter asserted that a tracker was placed. That would obviously make this hearsay. It's the introduction of an out-of-court statement to prove the truth of the matter asserted. That being that a tracker was placed on her vehicle, thereby corroborating the testimony that has already been provided. My notes are that it's already been testified to that the tracker was placed on the defendant's vehicle. And my notes are that she testified, or it's been established, that the victim in this particular case admitted that he placed it on her vehicle.
Yes.
So that's already in. And I think I said this the other day, and it bears repeating. So this is self-serving hearsay. It's clearly excluded. I will just note a secondary reason would be the relevance of this report. The issue is not whether or not she reported it to the authorities. The issue is not whether it's true or it's not true. The case law is very clear on this. It's not relevant whether law enforcement believed her or didn't believe her. The purpose of allowing these prior bad acts, and I say prior bad acts instead of going into all the different ways that can be done, but in a self-defense case, once the defendant has established there was an overt act, prior incidents of violence and intimidation and threats can come into evidence. The case law is very clear. They may be true, they may not be true. The issue is, what did the defendant know on the day that the force was used? And so those prior acts, of the specific incidences of prior bad acts or prior violence, don't have to have happened to her. She just has to know about it. And the tracker issue, while not necessarily violent, certainly it's intimidating. And I allowed it. I don't remember if the state objected or not, but I allowed that in. The testimony is in. Whether she reported it to law enforcement is of no moment. Whether it's true or not, because put it this way, the tracker wasn't found, so it was just an information report. It doesn't matter if it was found or not. It doesn't matter if this officer believed her or not. The issue is, it's something she's aware of. She testified to an overt act. It's already in evidence. So at this point, this is not marked. Who's the next person? What was his name or her name?
Lindsay.
It was Deputy Lindell.
Lindsay.
L-I-N-D-S-E-Y. So, I mean, you could call him, but the substance of her walking in, him taking a report, again, none of that is relevant to the issue of her knowledge of prior incidents.
That's all I was calling it for. So, yeah.
All right, I do want to give you all a break, though. I know we started at 9. It's about 10:30. I think it's reasonable to go ahead and take a break. So why don't you guys take 10 minutes?
Thank you, Judge.
Court being recessed for 10 minutes.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. We are back on the record.
Please have your seat, please.
All right, Mr. Taylor, do you have your next witness?
Defense calls Vincent Vizicaro.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, let's go ahead and bring him in. Please make sure you have him spell that for the court reporter.
Virtue, it's just like it sounds.
Do you need the
police?
But we'll wait till turn the lights down until you give us the high sign and the corporal will turn them down.
All right, thank you.
All right, y'all can have a seat. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you got to stretch a little bit. Maybe run and jog in place, warm up a little. So we've got, the defense gonna call their next witness, but before we do that, I did wanna ask that anybody begin deliberations amongst yourself, speak with anybody outside the jury about the case, or do any research on those topics we've talked about. Everybody says no. Mr. Taylor, call your next witness, please.
Thank you, Vincent Vizicaro.
As the deputy said, just make yourself comfortable in that chair. My name is Judge White. I'm going to be presiding over the case. You can adjust that microphone up, down, left, right as you need. Stay about 12 to 15 inches away. Speak in a loud, clear voice. It'll pick up everything.
Sounds good.
Good morning.
Morning.
Would you tell us your full name and spell your last name for us, please?
Vincent Vizicaro, V-I-Z-Z-A-C-C-A-R-O.
All right, Mr. Vizicaro, I'd like you to try to keep your voice up if you could.
Will do.
What do you do for a living, sir?
I'm in real estate.
And where are you a realtor?
Lakewood Ranch, Bradenton, and Sarasota areas.
Do you have any particular specialty?
Residential homes in Lakewood Ranch.
How long have you been doing that?
About 8 years now.
I want to ask you whether or not back in 2018, you had occasion to deal with an individual by the name of Douglas Benefield.
Yes, I did.
Could you tell us the circumstances under which that relationship took place?
Yes, he contacted me looking for a home.
I'll overrule at this point.
Thank you. Contacted you looking for a home?
Looking for a home he was trying to acquire through a business that he said he owned in Lakewood Ranch.
All right. And back in 2018, Mr. Vizicaro, did you use emails to communicate with him?
I did.
And did he communicate with you in the same fashion?
Yes, he did.
Were emails back then a normal and customary part of your business?
Very much so, yes.
Did you preserve the emails as they related to each client's files?
I do that, yes.
And were the emails under care and custody?
Yes.
Mr. Vizicaro, I'm going to pass to you what we marked as Vince Exhibit No. 27.
Yes. All right. Members of the jury, I do need a few minutes to resolve a legal issue. That's my responsibility. So if you could, close up your notes. Leave them there on your chair, and I'm going to excuse you back into the jury room for a couple of minutes. I will get you back out here as soon as I can. Don't begin deliberations. Don't talk with anybody outside the jury. And no research on anything. Thank you. All right, you all can have a seat. Mr. Vizicaro, what I'm going to do is at this moment, I need to do some research and speak with the attorneys.
Okay.
So I'm going to excuse you to the hallway. There's a thing called the rule of sequestration that is requested by both parties. And that means that you cannot discuss your testimony or the questions asked of you with anyone else. You can't discuss other witnesses' testimony or what questions they were asked while hearing court, or do any research on the case, watch it, or anything else.
Understood.
All right, we'll call you back as soon as we can.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, I'm just going to ask before I start doing my research, do you have any cases that you want me to know about right now?
No, Roger.
All right,
We're traveling under the words and statute, specifically 9803-6.
Understood. All right, so I'm thinking I need about 10 minutes or so. So we're going to take a 10-minute recess, maybe 15-minute recess. I want to look this up as well because I want to find a case that gives me some direction.
Sure. Yes, sir.
Of course, that means you can too when we go back on the record.
Yes.
All right, you guys ready to go back on the record?
Yeah.
Any other objections?
Judge, also, I would like to make a relevance argument that the fact that he's going back and forth in this email about a specific property, there's no rest.
All right, proponent, go ahead, sir.
Well, I think it's admissible, one, as a business record, which were qualified. Business records traditionally contain hearsay, and under the statute runner, specifically subsection C, we got this email from the state. However, we then gave it back to the state in its isolated form. They have not filed any objection to it, so they waive that objection according to the business records exception. We also believe that it shows Doug Benefield's state of mind, that he was in the process of buying a home directly behind Ashley Benefield's home during the time period when the South Carolina injunction was in full force and effect.
All right, anything else, sir?
No, sir.
State?
Judge, I found a case I would like to put. Thomas v. State, 993 Southern 2nd 105 from 2008. It is specifically addressing an email that was put in as a business record. I didn't have long to read this, but it was an email that was sent to an apartment complex manager of some sort, and it appears as though it was not qualifying as a business record, and additionally, the hearsay within the email was not admissible. There is a yellow flag, and I'm trying to look at it now.
All right, did you review Thomas v. State?
Yes.
All right, do you want to make any argument on it?
No.
So Thomas v. State is helpful. It's 993 Southern 2nd 105 1st DCA. Although it was the state introducing the email against the defendant, the state sought to introduce an email that was prepared by an employee of the apartment complex where the victim lived and was murdered regarding statements made by the victim that she had someone living with her that was not on the lease for a year and she wanted that person out. And obviously the state was introducing that to prove that that was the defendant and that the victim was trying to evict him, and that was part of the reason why then I murdered her. And the first DCA found that even if the email from the employee's side qualified as a business record, I don't see where they actually found and held that the email was a business record, which was my original question, but ultimately concluded that the statements that were made and then by the employee and then communicated through that business record, those statements were not, well, first they're hearsay, but they were not part of the records and the data compilations of the business itself, and that although hearsay may exist within exhibits that fall within an exception, such as business record, those hearsay statements must still qualify under a separate exception to the hearsay rule. And in this particular situation, if I'm understanding correctly, what the defense is asking is to introduce Defendant's Exhibit 27 through Mr. Vizicaro as his business record that he keeps. But according to Thomas, and then they also cited a prior case of theirs, Van Sant v. State, V-A-N-Z-A-N-T, 372 Southern 2nd 502, Florida 1st DCA 1979. Even if this qualifies as a business record, which again, I have not found a single case that says it does or doesn't, and I don't see in my review of Thomas where it says it is or isn't, but the statements of Mr. Benefield are being offered to prove the truth of the matter that he's looking to buy a house in Lakewood Ranch are hearsay without exception.
By exception, Your Honor, is his state of mind clearly shows Mr. Benefield, I forget what this is, or it's allowed me now to bring in as the here is Ms. Benefield, Judge White, negotiating with the realtor to buy the house directly behind the home where Ashley Benefield lives, and he's doing it at the time the South Carolina domestic violence injunction prohibits that. He would not be able to buy that house directly behind Ashley Benefield's home. It's like 200 feet away, 100. And it's a continued pattern and practice that corroborates.
Right. Do you want to be heard on 90.8033, an existing mental, emotional, or physical condition?
Judge, his emotional, mental state at that still has to be material to a material fact. And his state of mind at that time is not a material fact. Also, I think the defense is misrepresenting some of what's in the email. Mr. Benefield never said he wanted to buy the house. He said he wanted to rent the house, and he said, I'll have to check with Ashley first. So I think some of the misrepresentation that's going on, we should probably just read the email. But I don't think it has anything to do with his state of mind. His state of mind at this point in time is not relevant.
All right, as I've said before, Are you going to establish the location of the home through Vizicaro?
Yes, sir.
Where it was?
Yes, sir.
In relation to the house where Ms. Benefield lived?
Yes, sir.
And then are you going to then just argue during closing, I would assume?
Yes.
All right, so there's going to be no more witnesses. This is the end of this road to establish.
Yes, this is just
witness-wise.
This is an isolated act.
Yes. All right.
Judge, if she didn't actually know about this, then I don't know that it's relevant.
Well, and that's what I was thinking because, hold on, it's not an act of violence, though.
Right.
Or threat. But under 9803 subsection 3, a statement of the declarant's then existing state of mind, emotion, or physical sensation, including a statement of intent, plan, design, when it's offered to prove the declarant's state of mind, emotion, or physical sensation at the time or any other time, or prove or explain acts of subsequent conduct of the declarant.
And Judge, I would just ask that this witness be asked questions. He is allowed to testify. I don't know why we even have to speak about this. Were you helping Doug Benefield and were you looking at a certain house?
I think that would obviate some of the evidentiary concerns I have that you asked if he was assisting him in finding a location. Did you find one? Where was that location at that you were talking about putting an offer on?
And if the court rules against the admissibility of the email, that would be mentioned. On behalf of Ms. Benefield, though, I would like to present best defense that I can. And I think that email clearly is something jurors can have, read, see. It's tangible. It has the same kind of impact, Judge, that the prior and consistent statement of Gillum or emails involving Stephanie Murphy. And in the absence of a reason why it should kept out, I would like to admit it.
Right. Thank you both very much. I'll allow the admission of Defendant's Exhibit 27 under 90.803.6 for the realtor's portion and 98033 for the Benefield portion, with the understanding that, again, this is a relatively collateral matter.
In and out, Judge.
All right, can you bring the witness back in, Mr. Vizicaro? All right, welcome back, sir. Just take your spot back there in that chair. We're going to get the jury back in and resume your testimony.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Go and bring him in.
Gosh, is it coming this way?
All right, y'all can have a seat. Welcome back, everybody. You ready to begin deliberations? Talk with anybody outside the jury about the case or do any research? Everybody says no. Mr. Taylor, you may resume your direct examination.
Thank you, Judge White. Mr. Vizicaro, when we last broke, you told us you were a realtor and that Douglas Benefield had contacted you relative to a house in Lakewood.
That's correct.
All right, I'm going to pass to you, Mr. Vizicaro, what I've had marked as Defendant's Exhibit number 27. That would be the email messages that you referred to before when we were last in front of the jury, correct?
Correct.
Is that a true and accurate copy of the email exchange between you and Douglas Benefield?
Yes.
What is the date of that exchange?
The last email I see here was March 12th of 2018.
March 12th, 2018. Your Honor, at this time, I move to introduce that into evidence on behalf of Benefield.
Same objections, overruled. Defendant's Exhibit 27 will be received.
Now, Mr. Vizicaro, I know you've told us that the home, do you recall the address of the home?
Yes.
What was it?
5060 Newport News Circle.
All right, I'd like, with the court's permission, to dim the lights, and we're going to put a diagram up there for you.
The beam?
Please show us on that diagram where the house was that Mr. Benefield contacted you about purchasing.
This one right,
right there. Now, that house is directly behind the house in front of it with a red dot on it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. Do you know, Mr. Vizicaro, who was living in the house with the red dot at 1131 White Rock Road?
No, I don't.
Know whether or not, if I may, know whether or not, I don't know who was.
No.
This is the house that Mr. Benefield was.
Correct.
Know whether or not Mr. John Sam that.
I don't know.
Your Honor, I don't believe I have anything for you. My oversight. I'm going to pass to you what I've marked as Defendant's Exhibit number 28 and ask you if you can identify it.
Yes, that's the house.
That's the house that Douglas Benefield had contacted you about purchasing.
Correct.
And is that in Exhibit 28 a true and accurate reflection of the locale?
Yes.
Does it have a dot on it?
It does.
Does it have an address?
It does.
What is the address?
5060 Newport Circle. Newport New Circle.
On behalf of Ms. Benefield, Your Honor, move to introduce that as Defendant Exhibit 28.
No objection.
Received.
That's all. Thank you very much, Mr. Fisicola.
You can leave.
Gotcha.
Cross.
So you've had the opportunity to review the email, correct?
Yes, I have.
If I could just grab it real quick. And for the record, this is State's Exhibit 27. And it appears as though you're speaking with Mr. Benefield about potentially this house coming up, or the price being lowered on this house, correct?
That's correct, yes.
All right. So you were contacting Mr. Benefield about that?
I reached out to him about that.
Okay. And he actually said he may just want to rent. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
And he also said he didn't want to do anything without speaking to Ashley first.
That was a comment that was later in the conversation, yes.
Okay. And if I could show you State's Exhibit 27, it's very small, typed at the top, so mm-hmm. he might be able to...
That's why.
For the record, Defense Exhibit 27.
I'm sorry, Defense Exhibit 27. Okay. Does he say there that he needs to speak with Ashley first?
It appears that way, yes.
Okay. Yep. Thank you. No further questions.
Can you redirect?
Nope.
Can the witness be released?
Yes, sir.
Ma'am?
Yes.
All right, sir, you're released from your subpoena. You're free to go.
Thank you.
Mr. Taylor, can you state, defense, can you approach real quick? All right, call your next witness.
Defense would call, Your Honor, Dr. Jason Kintel.
Dr. Wellback.
Hi there. Thank you.
As you may recall, my name is Judge White. I'm presiding over the case. Same rules as last time. Just make yourself comfortable. Adjust that microphone as you need. Speak in a loud, clear voice.
Good afternoon, Dr.
Hi there.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
As a result of the counseling sessions that you had with Douglas, did you reach any conclusions with respect to Dr.?
Objection. Opinion testimony.
You go ahead and approach.
Okay, Dr. Kintel, so a couple of questions about your practice.
Yes, sir.
I think you told us your specialty was trauma.
Correct.
And for purposes of practicing your profession, various clients come to you and relate their backgrounds, correct?
Various people come to me and they've had traumatic experiences in their background. Some may be upfront in presenting them, some may not. But purpose of treatment is to get now to work better, and sometimes that requires unplugging and healing emotional wounds from the past.
And as part of your art and science, you are trained in picking up and diagnosing various cues in your effort to reach conclusions to try and help them.
I'm not following the question.
As part of your trained in being able to observe and detect various cues from these patients, or are you not?
What do you mean by cues?
Indications of areas of trouble. For example, don't always have patients that come out and say, oh, I am traumatized because this. Rather, they may speak in obtuse terms, and you are charged with, among other things, trying to figure out where the trauma lies and why.
I would answer that slightly different than the way that you're framing the question. So when somebody comes in to see me, my job is to understand what's not working and really what's not working in their life today.
Okay.
If that leads us to unplugging earlier trauma, which frequently it does, great. But that's the purpose when they first come in, is me understanding what's going on with them today that's not working, and hopefully saying it back to them in a way that they're getting it that I understand.
And in that process, you rely upon various statistical manuals and things that are reflective of your profession, do you
not?
I don't do specifically a lot of diagnosing, so I'm not going to use the DSM frequently. I'm going to understand the background of why trauma sticks and how to get that better.
And to understand the background of trauma, have you in the past, or do you periodically consult learned treatises, periodicals, things that help you reach that understanding?
If you're asking, do I go to continued ongoing training and development? Yes.
All right. Now, in this particular case, did you reach some conclusions about Douglas Benefield?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you counsel Douglas Benefield?
I did, yes. Both Ashley and Doug.
All right. And in counseling Douglas Benefield, did you listen and absorb various points that he was making to you?
Yes. Both when they came in as a couple and then when I did individual therapy with them separately.
And when they were in there as a couple, was part of your process observing the dynamics between two of them?
Yeah, I wanted to understand why they were seeing me and what stuff we wanted to get better. So certainly I'm paying attention to what they're telling me, how they're communicating, what they're communicating, and such.
Okay. And part of that included how they acted when they were together and how they acted when I saw them separately.
Yes, I would say so.
Okay. Now, in making those observations and questioning them and listening to them, in your effort to try and identify the objective, did you reach some conclusions about Douglas Benefield?
Yeah. Would you approach, please?
A brief deviation, Dr. Tell. Tell us what degrees you
hold. So I have a bachelor's in psychology, a master's in social work, and a PhD in clinical sexology.
How long have you been practicing as a psychologist?
I got my master's in 98 and started working in the public school system. So since 98, 2006, I started a private practice.
And since you've been in private practice, Hel, can you give us an idea of the number of patients that you've seen counseling?
Thousands.
And your specialty in counseling patients runs to all three of those fields that you have degrees in?
Yes, I have a background in all of that, but my specialty is in trauma resolution.
Okay, and when we speak of trauma resolution, explain to us what that is.
So I think that the first thing that somebody has to understand is trauma, or what we go through, isn't troubling because it happened, which is the conventional wisdom, is that because it was awful, it still hurts. But we're not troubled because it was bad, we're troubled because when it happened, emotionally, the brain short-circuited and doesn't know that particular experience ever ended. So where therapy missed the boat is we felt that people buried and repressed, and we have to help them process and get it out of them, where the methodology that I use is the reverse. It's about getting the good news in to the emotional part of the brain that doesn't know it's over. Think of it more like unplugging the memory, so emotionally the brain can read it as data about something that happened, versus where it's been stuck as happening, which explains why when somebody frequently either talks about it, is reminded of it, or is in something similar to it, emotionally they're transported back to that awful moment, right? If you have a friend telling you about something that was troubling them, and as they're telling you about it, it's almost as if they go back there to that troubling moment. So our goal is to keep the person more emotionally present as we unplug the emotional effect that the past has had.
And in that process, do you typically employ listening to patients?
Yes.
You typically employ making suggestions to patients?
I don't know if I would say it's making suggestions versus more kind of having a mutual outcome of how we want them to be in mind. So if I'm kind of creating a future self or an outcome, it's got to be something that they're good with, or if it shows up as conflictual, we're never going to be able to reach the outcome.
Okay.
So more instead of a suggestion, it's more of kind of a mutual outcome.
Right.
I did, yes.
You want to wadir the witness as experience training.
I do. Yes. Since 2006, October. I don't look at diagnoses with people. I look at people because the notion of the diagnosis will help in understanding maybe some of the background of why somebody acts, but you're really working with the person. So if somebody says to me, do you treat OCD or, bipolar? I would say I work with people, not the disorder.
So you're with, for instance,
Yes, ma'am. They were referred to me by another therapist, and my job was to do trauma resolution. What I was told is that both had their own trauma, and there was some stuff within the relationship, and that I was tasked with unplugging the emotional effect of those experiences.
Still, though, I have asked for a stand.
Yes, sir.
Same objection. Same. All right.
Okay.
Did you respect?
Yes.
Tell us.
Based on the conversations with both Ashley and Doug, Doug occurred as someone who was domineering, and the terminology that I would use at times would be super controlling. He was very dedicated to wanting the relationship to work. He was very interested, despite conversations with some of the disparaging things that Ashley had said to him. He was very much still wanting this to work, and their plans were to move to Maryland.
All right.
I would say that Doug is occurred as somebody who was very built and well put together. And yes, I would say that he would fit the stereotype of an alpha male, in my opinion. Ashley stated that she was scared of Doug. Can you say that again, please? Yes, I think it was over the top. I did not think it was fully genuine, no. Yes, I did. Ashley had a lot of disparaging comments, stuff with CPS, claims of abusing their child, and I was concerned and curious why, with all of that negative stuff that may even negative affect his job and career with government, why he wanted to stay.
And was it true that he was hell-bent on death?
I know that he really wanted the relationship to work.
That's never going to let her
away. I don't know whether that's true, whether or not. I don't recall that.
Right, let me ask and see.
Please.
Letting Ashley.
Yes, I said that to the detective. I said it seemed more like I'm not going to let her get away. Yes, sir.
All right. And lastly,
I'm going to sustain this.
Was there an incident? I'm going to
fact. Can you say that question again, please? Thank you. Yes, at the time that I spoke with the detective, I had had an appointment, and Doug had waited in the reception area, and it was a couples counseling, and Ashley was out in the car with the child, and I thought it was unusual that he did go out and see her. Given that they had the relationship they had, it may not be as unusual as I thought, but I was coming from having two little girls and what would be in my mind to do. Well, it would have been at least an hour. I don't know how long I was in the appointment before. I wouldn't have been able to observe that because I would have been in session. I just knew that he was waiting in the lobby. I don't know whether anything other than that.
Bothered to notice you go out. How long are Doug Benefield and me?
I would have seen him when I first went out to grab the client, and would have seen him when I came back out of my office.
And because of that, he went out.
Yes, I did.
And I correct me if I'm wrong. Correct examination said met with Ashley Benefield alone.
Five. Yes, ma'am.
Met with Doug Benefield alone.
Five. Yes, ma'am.
Met with them together.
Yes, ma'am.
So the majority of time met with over half the time.
To do trauma resolution. Yes, ma'am.
And her discussion with her recitation played into her decision about this.
Yes, they were comments that she made and frustrations that she had within the system.
So it was not solely based on therapy.
No, ma'am.
Can this witness be released? Yeah. Right, sir, you're released. Here you go. That's not.
Yeah. One photograph.
One. Yes. So, members of the jury, we're going to pass these out and publish them. I'm not rushing you, but I'm going to talk while we're doing that. I think at this point, it's a good time for our lunch break. It's about 10 minutes after 12. So take your time. I want you to look through all of this, look through these exhibits, and then I'll excuse you.
26.
Those 27 and 28, and they'll be marked on them. There's a little sticker on each, which should say 27, 28, and I think the other one is Defense Exhibit 1. So it's 12:15.
If I could have you back down to the jury assembly room where you began everything this morning and last week at 1:30. Should give you plenty of time if you want to go somewhere, if you just want to walk downtown. Be in the jury assembly room at 1:30, and we'll get you back up here as soon as we can to get started in the afternoon. Remember the admonishments. Don't talk amongst yourselves with anyone outside of the jury or do any research on the people, places, thing, the legal topics we've heard anything about. Thank you. All right, y'all can have a seat. I would assume, before I let you all go, that the request for an exhibit list from the defense of the items that they expect to introduce has been provided?
Yes.
Right. And certainly a list of witnesses that are expected to be called?
Yes.
Right. I didn't get a copy of that. If it's been amended from the witness list that I received, it looks like it was filed June 21st of 2024. So I'll just mark, but who do we have on tap for this afternoon?
So
I don't need to know the order, but just who?
We have Jason Alexander, Michael Hay, H-A-H, Dr. Emma
Lou. Hold on one second. I'm sorry. I got it. My list is, okay. Michael Hay.
Michael Hay, Dr. Emma Lou.
All right.
And Warren.
Warren.
Just the feed homicide.
All right. Have all these folks been deposed?
Yes.
All right. Are there any objections or anything I need to hear before before we get a jury in and get them seated and make them sit there for 5 or 10 minutes while I hear arguments at the bench? I would much, much rather have the objection made, let's talk about it, and then let's call the jury in so it's a little bit smoother.
With Detective Warren, I may have objections, but I don't know what's going to go. Without asking what they're going to ask, I don't think I can have that conversation. And additionally, if Detective Gillum is set to testify,
you didn't say that name.
No, they've been keeping him here.
Okay. You think just 1, 2, 3, 4 witnesses are going to take us the whole afternoon?
Yeah, I think
they're interested. Okay. Oh, is this the bulk of what you're calling at this point? Okay. Well, that would be fine, because then we could do a preliminary charge instruction this evening. Then you guys can decide if you want to do any rebuttal. Okay.
So the one request I have, Your Honor, is for Mike Hague, ballistics expert. Mike Hague.
Hague, yes.
H-A-A-G.
Okay.
We need HDMI cable on the stand.
To where? Here? I don't understand.
Yeah, no, we don't.
So he's going to use his laptop to project here. I know this is the one we used. I don't know, Deputy, does that stretch to here?
We'll inquire about
it. Oh, you know what? IT has got to come and fix my computer anyway. So can you tell them that we also need that a witness this afternoon is going to have to run to that? Thank you so much. And that'll take care of both. Because my goblins, it's just, you know how it goes.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Judge.
I guess the only other question the state would have is there were other witnesses that were held by the defense. If these are the remainder of their witnesses, are those witnesses being released? Because they're asking the state for those.
We don't know what they're being
modeled. Okay.
More continuing coverage is on the way.
The Black Swan murder trial of Ashley Benefield from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Press subscribe now.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly. Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution. An all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total when you use code BALANCE at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code BALANCE. Monarch, the modern way to manage money.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information. Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.